it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Which was way better than what it was against the Chargers. We came in last Monday talking about, you know, Ladd McConkey, 30% win rate, wide open, zero pressure on Herbert. It was so easy. They didn't have to run the ball. A couple things with this performance. I think clearly there was much better communication. There was all the miscommunication a week ago. You felt like guys were at least in the right spot, which for starters was not happening in week one. And I actually felt like guys, when they were on an island in coverage, did really, really well. Noel Williams had a big play at one point in time when they
he
left him on an island.
Probably got away with one PI, but we'll let that
go. Yeah, but we can play that game with every quarter of football. Yeah. And they didn't call it, so therefore he held his own, right?
That one was pretty bad.
He held his own. The rookie did, which was nice to see. So I thought the defense improved quite a bit, which gave me some hope, as I said, you know, looking forward, because the offense to me is not going to get any better for a couple weeks. So the defense getting better as quickly as they did was promising. Now, the one issue you still have, and will other teams exploit it better than Philly could, which is they still cannot get pressure when they don't blitz. It still has to be manufactured. Now, in this game, it worked. They got home when
they blitzed, it worked. Except for the one Devonta Smith catch. Correct. Over McDuffie, although I'd say you got the coverage you wanted.
Yeah, McDuffie was right on him. Ball was underthrown. Devonta Smith made a great catch.
Tough play to defend.
The Chiefs blitzed Jalen Hurts on 16 of his 25 throws, according to Next Gen Stats. So 64% of the time. That was their highest blitz rate under Spags since 2019. This is a DC that blitzes more than just about anybody, and that was still the highest blitz rate.
It was a good plan.
Hurts, though, got the ball out quicker than any other time in his career. 2.11 seconds, ball was out.
So who cares? Because they were all at the line of scrimmage. Did you see his throw chart?
Yeah, well, he didn't have time to do it, and he only threw for 101 yards, and that's also why the coverage was better. You weren't asking guys to stick with their man for 5 seconds or whatever, right? And so it all went together. It was a really good scheme, I thought, from Spags. He deserves credit for that. I think he was actually the MVP of the game. If it's even possible to hand out an MVP for a loss, it would be Steve Spagnuolo. But the problem is, Cody, and we'll see it, they're going to play the Giants this week. It'll be Russ.
He just had 400 yards.
Not as mobile as he used to be. And then they're going to play Lamar Jackson the next week. So their inability to get pressure with the front four is still very, very concerning. But I did think they took a nice step forward if you're looking for any positive at all after a game like that yesterday.
I think you can always take positives out of a game if they exist. That was a night and day difference performance-wise defensively. Because in the previous game, when you were talking about, like, they came in slow, they came in hot. They were flying around on defense immediately. Looked like they had juice, had energy. They held them only 216 yards. That in its own right, that's a win. That game is fully on the offense. I don't care that Trent McDuffie got beat on one round. This entire game is on the offense because the defense put up an incredible performance, in my opinion. A couple of those points were gift-wrapped. The interception from Patrick Mahomes that Travis Kelce dropped down into field goal range, and the free field goal the offense gave him, where the defense only gave up 2 yards after just giving it to them on a situation where they didn't get the 4th-and-1. So, like, 6 points were completely gift-wrapped in that game. They gave up one play that I wish that Trent McDuffie probably wishes he could knock down, and that's a really, really difficult play to defend, and I would say that the call was good. You just didn't end up getting it. The biggest issue, and the only issue I would say I had in this game defensively and for the first two games is, well, it looks like we're back to not taking the ball away, huh? Like, I'll even forgive the pass rush stuff for a minute because they were choosing to blitz. I guess I won't know if they got pressure with the front four. They blitzed 70% of the time in the game. They need a ball hawk. They need someone who wants the football. Because, Gold, the difference in this game was the one turnover from the Chiefs and zero from the Eagles. Had the Eagles turned the ball over at any point in that game, probably a win for the Chiefs.
Yeah, it would have had to have come in the run game, though, because based off of the...
they weren't throwing.
How many times was the ball really thrown down the field?
94. Because the sacks, they had 94 total passing yards.
So
that's a great defensive performance.
So I don't know. I mean, there was maybe one opportunity to possibly get an interception in the game. You know, maybe one where McDuffie, you know, knocked down the ball, and then I can't remember who it was, tried to make a diving play, and it would have been a
Jaden
hell of a
Hicks
play.
Almost it got it.
That would have been an insane play. But so I don't think there was really many opportunities in the passing game. I know you're like, well, create your opportunities. But because of what we said, getting the ball out in 2.1 seconds.
They're only 216 yards. They didn't have that many chances to take the ball.
It would have had to have been, you know, a strip. And I remember on the first drive of the game, I think it was, Jalen Hurts like fumbled it himself. Now he got it back. That would have been, you know, hindsight, everything. Like, that would have been a massive, massive play. They would have had the ball inside the red zone right away. Jalen Hurts recovered his own fumble, and then they marched down the field.
It's just a matter of it's like the one thing that's probably going to keep me afloat this week from the, like, okay, don't let the concern get too high, out of control, is this was a better performance than week one. They still lost.
Yes.
But I think the Eagles overall are a better team, and this was a better performance. This was certainly a better performance on defense. It was an equally bad performance on offense, would be my argument, but the same problem exists. Thrown to Jason Brownlee and Tyquan Thornton and Hollywood Brown, who for a minute I thought that they were going to lose in that game, and I'm like, are you?
Yeah, he limped off for one play.
He limped off pretty strong. Yeah. It was a pretty strong limp goal. I'm like, are you? Hollywood, we just need you to stay healthy for 4 weeks. If you get hurt in week seven, I won't hold it against you. It's cool. I hope you don't. Hope you stay healthy the whole year. Can you make it 4 more weeks after this one is what I'm requesting at this point, so they can get back Worthy and Rice together, well, and you can go through it. But the defensive performance, I don't know how you could look at that.
I feel better about the defense, but it's still obvious what is probably going to be an issue the whole season, which is getting
turnovers and pressure,
pressure with the front four. Well, Spags is going to have to really dial it up like he did.
The problem with it this year, too, is last year you're asking the defense to be perfect again because the offense – can't do anything. Yep. You're asking the one play. Trent McDuffie had a really good game. The one play that he couldn't make a play on ended up being the one that got them inside the five, and they ended up scoring a touchdown on to go up by double digits. So what, like one misstep by the defense, and the game almost feels like it's over. Like it feels like the way that they're asking the defense to play, and last year they answered the bell all the time, pretty much, except for really in the Super Bowl. The defense always answered the call, and where now we've seen. In game one, the defense obviously didn't look that great, but this one, you're asking them to do almost more than what any team is really capable of because the offense just can't get anything going. It's really, really difficult to win football games when you're constantly having to play borderline perfect football.
Yeah, they're a team, as we said, to start the show offensively, but I think you're right. I mean, it's defense as well. They don't have much margin for error right now, and that's going to be the case at minimum until Rice and Worthy are both on the field at the same time, and hopefully your offense is able to go out there and have some big plays and obviously put up points and have some sustained drives, and it just looks, frankly, right? Like, we all watch. Like, you don't have to have watched football that long in your life to know when you watch their off, like, oh, this is just rough to watch. This is a struggle every single play.
Even the scoring drives are 12 plays for 67 yards, and you're like, ugh.
Every 5 yards, you're like, oh, my, that was a lot of work to get 5 yards or get 3 yards. I mean, it's just brutal. And yeah, the defense last year was really, really good. It's why they won 15 games. This year, the reason why they're still in both of these games, even though they've lost, is because of the defense. And when you're playing the opponents they're playing, it's not going to be good enough. You know, hopefully the Giants are a team that you can step, you know, they can't think this way. I can, just as an outsider.
Oh, no. You can't overlook anyone.
I can step back and say, hopefully this is a game in which the Giants are not near the competition, and so it's good enough to at least get a win on Sunday. That can't be their thought process, but I can think that
little
way.
Little afraid of Malik Nabers, who is still very, 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 very good. Yeah. Easily the worst, like the, of all the moments on offense that make you just like clench your fist in anger. The fact that they completed 3 passes and didn't have a first down is like, oh my God, this.
Yeah, you completed the first quarter.
You completed 3 on the one that they failed the fourth down.
Yeah.
You completed 3 passes and you were still short of the sticks. Goodness. What am I watching? The Browns?
Yeah. Look,
you have Patrick Mahomes. This is crazy.
At the end of the first quarter, too, I think it was 1 for 4 for 3 yards passing. I think that was the end of the first quarter stat. And then Mahomes obviously started running a little bit and you know, the game was tied at halftime. They were still at. That's what's so weird about the Eagles game. If I would have told you before the season that, hey, they're playing the Eagles, it's going to be like, that's a potential loss. That's a really tough game, and they're going to be, you know, 10-10 at half. You're like, okay, yeah, they could swing that game in a hurry. It's all because of, one, how they've looked, but also the loss of the Chargers. If they would have beat the Chargers and they would have lost this game in this fashion, you know, we'd be saying the same issues exist, but you'd be sitting at 1-1 and there wouldn't be the panic. I'm sure you've been texted already. I already got 3 texts today. You've got some radio hits, I'm sure, later this week as well. People, oh, you want to come on, and we want to have you come on to talk about the 0-2 Chiefs. Like, everybody wants to talk about what the hell's going on in Kansas City for other reasons. You know, it's already happening.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.